tried hard. Everyone knew that the after party was the real party. So once a year, when the teachers set down the mantle of responsibility with a sigh of relief that their part was over, and parents locked up and went to bed, insistent in their belief that their kids weren't the type to sneak out at night, Pansy and Nate took over. "I put a box of condoms on the table beside the ice buckets," said Pansy. She waited for the inhale. Nate didn't disappoint.
"If Robert finds them during the harvest," he said, "he'll have a heart attack. I hope you can live with that."
Pansy loved Robert, of course, but it was her steadfast opinion that Nate's oldest son had been born with a rough barked cherry branch protruding from his nether cheeks. She shrugged. "It's not the first time these trees have witnessed shenanigans by those on the cusp of adulthood. He'll survive." A low, raunchy chuckle rumbled up in her. Oh, there'd been shenanigans, all right.
"Will and Brett will see to it that there's no evidence left behind, anyway," said Nate.
Too bad. A little dose of reality would be good for Robert. "Are they both working the harvest?" Nate nodded. Robert's son, Will, and Brett, son of Nate's youngest boy, Hal, were currently being groomed to take over the orchard. Pansy, a strident, liberated woman ahead of her time, who'd once railed that Nate's twin daughters, Jane and Kathy, hadn't even been considered as potential heirs to the cherry throne, didn't bother asking if the granddaughters were in the running.
"Is it by choice?"
she asked.
"Do the boys want the orchard?"
"That's their problem," answered Nate,
with the wisdom of being a generation removed. A comfortable silence descended between them, broken only by the catcalls, shouts, and relentless music drifting up from below. The more things changed, she thought, the more they stayed the same. Pansy, Aunt Pan, as the younger ones liked to call her, surveyed the bodies sitting cross-legged on the ground, the planes of their faces dancing orange in the flickering light. So full of promise, so much anticipation and idealism. Jane's only child, Jessica, and Kathy's oldest daughter, Carrie, were among the celebrants, and Pansy's heart ached with vicarious pride. Their lives lay ahead of them like a fresh, open road and a full tank of gas. Who knew what they might accomplish? Then she frowned and stood up. "Jessica Palmer," she called. "Unless you're being examined for poison ivy, the shirt stays down." The girl either didn't hear or was doing a dang good job of making it look that way. She had a wild streak, and the poor boy she was with had no idea the world of heartbreak she was undoubtedly setting him up for.
"But you brought condoms," observed Nate with a laugh. "Seems a little hypocritical to me."
"Details," she responded. "I'm acting as honorary mother tonight." Nate had nothing to say to that. Janie Starr had done her daughter no favors by choosing that Palmer fellow to father her only child. Wealth and status were fine. It turned out that marriage and parenthood weren't what either of them wanted. Janie wanted a perfect princess. Instead, she got Jessica. But Pansy couldn't say if it was the wild twins' daughter or the two proper twins' daughter who got the worst end of it. Carrie Logan, Jess's cousin, was wound way too tight for her own good and had an overly involved mother for whom image was everything. Jessica wanted to be an actress. Carrie wanted to be a photographer. Pansy wondered if the girls' mothers realized that these careers in role-playing and image-making could be directly linked to the expectations put on them in childhood. But which of these girls wasn't hampered by such constraints? Pretty Emma Stanhope, cursed with an honest-to-God beauty queen sister? Or sweet, rudderless J.C. Rose, finding her way despite a mother who considered herself incomplete without a man? Did Lillian Reynolds's consistent honor roll placement shield her? Or Tina Carson's bossiness? No. While girls nowadays had more choices than she'd had at the same age, true freedom was as elusive as ever. For boys, too, sometimes,